Yeah, the role of agriculture, if we kind of take a step back and look globally, the population of the planet is just over 7 billion. In the next 40, 50 years, we're going to see the population increase to somewhere in the 9s, maybe close to 10 billion. With that, we have an aging population, the calorie consumption per person's increasing, and we have the wealth of the nation's increasing, which means people are shifting from eating diets consisting more vegetables and grains to including meats in their diets. And it takes more calories to create a pound of chicken than it does just a loaf of bread. It takes even more to give us a pound of pork. It takes even more to get us a pound of beef. So as all this comes together, agriculture is looking at the challenge of nearly doubling our yields within the next 40, 50 years. And then to compound that, we have fewer and fewer acres to work with. We lose acres to urban sprawl, desertification, so different things are occurring to take acres out of production. So agriculture is looking at every technology at its fingertips to try to figure out how we environmentally, economically can increase this food production and have a safe, plenty of safe food for the population on the planet.
If we don't meet those goals, what's going to happen to civilization and to the global network of trade, which we've spent the last century building up?
Yeah, I'm no person to look in a crystal ball, but it's not a good scenario. If we have a lack of food, obviously starvation comes to mind as an extreme, malnourishment, and then the associated problems with that of increased disease problems, health problems associated with that. So some gloom out there if we're unable to meet this demand.
One of the biggest changes is a very quiet one, doesn't produce a lot of sound, and that's plant genetics. How has that, let's look at that historically, starting back with dense or yellow dense seed, sure. and moving up into this century?
Yep. It's a great question. We've had what we call our traditional hybrids, where we're crossing one corn plant with another one. We have a desired trait in corn plant A. We have a desired trait in corn plant B. We cross-pollinate those and hope we get the two desired traits out of that.
How much did that increase production, that approach?
That was significant. That increased, what it does is increases the yield potential of a given plant. So this is probably not too close, but let's say it doubles it. So all of a sudden we can increase dramatically the potential. And then as we pull in all these other technologies that we talk about, fertilization, irrigation, those types of factors all work together so our yields increase. We're now looking at genetic engineering, the difference there being instead of our traditional crossing between two corn species, we can now take a gene out of another species, not corn necessarily, and drop it in a corn plant that will give it a resistance to a pesticide or an insect. And then we can, good examples people may be familiar with would be Roundup Ready soybeans. Roundup is a herbicide a lot of homeowners have. They use it's great to kill weeds in your driveway. A Roundup Ready bean, I can spray Roundup on my soybeans. The soybeans are resistant to Roundup. They grow just fine. The weeds die. And there are other genetic modifications as well out there. They can help improve the nutrition of the plant, again, the resistance, improve yield potential. And so that's kind of the next step. And really, we're just on the cusp of this. Soybeans with Roundup Ready resistance came out in 1996, was the first year they were available in the United States. So really, we're still in our infancy with this technology.
How close are we to developing, say, drought-resistant or dry country grains?
I think those are coming. There's certainly research that's being done on that right now, and that's going to help. That's going to enable us to grow a crop in an area where we had limited yields in the past. But I would like to emphasize that's never going to be central Illinois. So we're not all of a sudden going to go grow 200 bushels acre of corn in the Sahara Desert. That's never going to happen. But maybe we can have areas where we're getting 20, 30 bushels of millet or something like that. Maybe we can bump that up a little bit higher, improve rice yields in various areas as well, increase cotton yields in those environments. So, again, it's going to be these small steps.
So working at the edges, so to speak, how many non-arable acres around the globe could we put into production with these tweaks?
That's an excellent question. I can tell you of the entire planet, we have about 7.5% of the planet that is available for crop production. So how much of that could we increase? We're talking probably just a few percentages, but yet that could be very significant. If we have areas where we weren't able to get any yield off of it previously, if we can get some yield on those handful of percentage of acres out there, that could be significant as we're trying to double our yield productions.